The Lord. Praise the Lord. Get together. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we come to your presence. We give you thanks as we have prepared ourselves to listen to thy word. Anoint us, O Lord, and let every word what comes from you may be a warning in our life to understand your plan and purpose. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, my Lord and my Savior. I just ask you that you'll give me clear conscience and understanding as I speak, and give me slow speech, O Lord, so that we may understand. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 Happy Father's Day. It's so good to be in the presence of God. And you know, I was just thinking, if I go into the Bible and look to a very good father, because I wanted that father to be a model when I preach from the Bible. Tell me a good person, a good father in the Bible, a very good father in the Bible, apart from God. Any good father you can name. I struggled to get a name. Right? You know, for women, when we talk about the ladies or mummies, there are so many mothers we can talk about in the Bible. Correct? And everybody says, Hannah is a very good mother. She prayed. She cried in the presence of God. And God gave him Samuel. And then you say that, okay. Then we talk about Moses' mommy, the way she has taken care of Moses and trained Moses. And when it came to decide on his life's decisions, Moses was filled with the wisdom of God, and he rejected what this world can offer him, and he stood for the Lord. So there are mothers we can take out, we can pick up. But tell me one father from the Bible, a good father from the Bible, if you know. As a pastor, I couldn't find anybody. So I would love to ask you people, a good father. Joseph was a good father. Really? He was father of two children, right? Father of two children. So how do you describe him, Joseph? If you say that Joseph was a good father, what example you can give from his life? Is there anything written about him? There's nothing you can find. Joseph, yes, he had children. Like Abraham had a son. And Isaac had a son again. Isaac had sons, and Jacob had sons. Then if I want to preach on David, David has a son. David has sons. But I thought, you know, this guy also doesn't fit into this. If I have to preach about Solomon, I will not preach about Solomon, because there are, right, positive and negative things in Solomon also. And Solomon is how many? 300 plus 700. I don't want to touch that subject. But you know, I started thinking about which father is a good father. Which father is a good father? Job was a good father who lost his children, right? And okay, then what do we learn from Job? We learn about Job, but I'm talking about father who nourished his children. Now, does Bible tell anything about Job's children? The way he nourished his children? Does Bible tell? Bible tells about Job and his temptations, right? And his trials and his difficult times, the Bible tells us. But nourishing the children is important. Right, bringing up the children is important. Now, if I talk about the priest Eli, then I cannot tell anything. Right, because God has rejected his children. So there are so many things in the Bible. And I was just thinking which character I just choose. Then Rachel has somebody.
The father of the prodigal son.
Okay, what does it teach us, the father of the prodigal son? What teaches us?
Forgiveness.
Okay, love, forgiveness. And what else? Gave him everything what he wanted. Correct? Right? Gave him everything what he wanted. But you know, today, let us look to a perfect father. Let us look to a perfect father in the Bible. And that perfect father is none other than our living God. The perfect father is none other than the living God. And Jesus uses these verses in the Bible. Jesus uses these verses in the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 9 till 12. Matthew chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 9 till 12. Now he's talking about the Father. He's talking about the fathers here. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, now this is the word. Now Jesus is using this word. What he says, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them to do you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now Jesus has brought a very good statement, and we can build this statement and we can make an argument on this. We can build a case on this. Now what Jesus says, that when you know being evil, when we know that being evil, we know how to give the good gifts to our children. We want to give good gifts to our children, right? We want to give the best to our children. How many of you want to give the good things to your children? Praise the Lord. How many of you want to give the best gifts to your children? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus is saying, now listen very carefully. This is the statement of Jesus. Being the worldly fathers, we know what is the good things for our children. Jesus says, if your son asks for a bread, why don't you give him a stone? Can you give him a stone? We will say no. And if your son asks for a fish, what will you give? You will give him fish. You will not give him snake. Being evil, when we know that what is good for our children. How about Heavenly Father? How about Heavenly Father, who is so perfect in his love? How about Heavenly Father, who loves us so much? How about our Creator, who created everything so good? And specifically, he has spent time to create you and me in his own image. How about him? How about him? I just want to give you some points where you will understand how the fathers must be. How our perfect father is towards us, and how our father has to be. As a father, how you must be. I know that, you know, everybody wants to give good gifts to your children. But let us look to the Heavenly Father. Let us look to Heavenly Father how he loves us and how he loves us and what he wants to give us. Number one, our Heavenly Father is a provider. Number one, our Heavenly Father is a provider. Anugrahinchuvadu. Provider. Our Heavenly Father is a provider. He wants to provide everything what you need in your life. Right? Everything what you need in your life. Now let me ask you, when we say that our Heavenly Father wants to provide, will he provide everything in your life? Number one, he will not provide everything in your life. What is best, God knows, and he will give us the best thing. You may have 110 requirements in your life, but he will not give you everything, my friends. He will not give you everything. And don't be disheartened, discouraged. Do not be disheartened and discouraged when you don't get things. And when you don't get things in your life, don't turn your back to your Heavenly Father. That's the biggest problem what we have. You know, as soon as we ask Father, right? As soon as we ask, we want to obtain it. We want to get it. Now, yesterday I was preaching. I said, how many of you are happy? Then all the children said, we are all happy. Then I said, ooh, you are happy because your parents have given you everything what you want. No. I said, you are not happy? Said, no, they have not given us what we wanted. When you don't give to your children what they want, they are not happy. And same way, when God doesn't give what we want in our life, we are not happy. We are not happy. But the very first thing, let me tell you something. We need to understand our Father. We need to understand our Father. And we need to know that every time God provides what is good in our life. Let me take you to a father who taught his son how God provides the best in our life. How God provides the best in our life. If you go to Genesis chapter 22, there is a story. There is a story about father and son. And this story is the story of Abraham and Isaac. This story is a story of Abraham and Isaac. Now, God has come to Abraham and said, Abraham, do you love me? And Abraham said, Lord, I love you. Abraham, do you love me? And Abraham said, Lord, I love you. Abraham, you love me. I want to test you. How much you love. And that test is a test of giving your son. Sacrifice your son to me. Now, there were 3 days' journey from the place where Abraham lived. And let me tell you something. God has chosen that place, Mount Moriah, one of the mountains on Mount Moriah. God has chosen that place, not Abraham. And God said to Abraham, take your son, your only one son. Take him. You waited for 100 years, Abraham. You have waited for 100 years. Now I'm asking your son. And you know, his son was already 13 years old. Isaac was 13 years old when this episode took place. And Abraham loved his son. And God said, Abraham, take your son. And Abraham said, okay, Lord, I'm taking my son. And that journey was for 3 days. And in these 3 days, he started praying to God. What is happening? What is happening in his life? I waited for 100 years to have children. At the age of 75, God called me. For 25 years, I walked with the Lord. On the 99th year, God visited us. And God said, I'm going to fulfill the promise, what I have given you. And next year, by this time, you will have a son. I had a son. My son is 13 years old. Now God comes to me and says that, offer your 13 years old son. And Abraham started walking towards the place what God had shown him. Beautiful, right? And they journeyed for 3 days.
And before they could go onto the mountain, the place what God has shown, they stopped. And Abraham said to his servants, "Wait here. Let us go and sacrifice the sacrifice to the Lord and come back. We will come back." That was the beauty of Abraham prophesying that we are going to come back. We are going to come back. He uses the plural word, not singular. We will come back. If he has sacrificed his son, if his son is dead, Abraham should say that I will come back. But he has used the plural word and he said, we will come back. Amen? We will come back. Because Abraham knows how his heavenly Father provides. Do you know how God provides our needs in our life? Do you know how God provides our needs in our life? He takes his son. And now son asks him a question. Says, "Father, everything is here. Everything is here for sacrifice. But where is the lamb?" What he says? "Where is the lamb?" Jehovah Jireh. Who provides us? Father who provides us. My fathers, let us look to the Lord. You may be having a very good job in your life. You may be earning enough of money in your life. You may have good status in the society. You may have everything in your life. But unless and until God provides you, you will never have enough in your life. There was nothing with Abraham, but he depended on God because he has so much of intimacy with Father. He always spoke to the Father. He always knew the heart of God. And this 3 days journey, which broke the heart of Abraham, which made him to cry in the presence of God and accept everything what he has gone wrong in his life, where he has gone in wrong in his life. And he had that courage and he had that prophecy from God saying that Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. I want every father to depend on God. Be an example to your children. Whenever your children says that, "Father, from where it is going to come," say that Lord provides us. Say that Lord provides us. Son asked Abraham. Isaac asked Abraham, "Dad, where is the sacrifice, Dad? We need sacrifice. We need lamb. We need animal. We have everything, but animal is not there." And which was very important for sacrifice. And his father says, "My son, don't worry. God will provide." Can you say amen? My son, don't worry. God will provide. Provide our needs. The perfect Father who is in heaven knows what we need. He provides us. On the same mountain, Isaac was not sacrificed, but on the same mountain, God has sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. The same mountain, God has sacrificed Jesus Christ on the same mountain. Perfect Father knows how to provide. Perfect Father knows how to provide. Number two, perfect Father knows how to discipline. A good father always disciplines his children. Disciplinary.
God is our discipliner. God disciplines us. God disciplines us. God instructs us. God teaches us. God tells us what is good and what is bad. How many of you like if somebody is saying that you are wrong, and if they point out what is wrong in us, how many of you like that point? Many of us, we do not like it. And that is our nature. That is inborn. That is inborn in us. If somebody comes and says that, sister, I don't like this while you're doing, and brother, I don't like it. Pastor, I don't like this one in the church. Most of us, we do not like it. We will turn our heads away from us. Now, if we have that nature in us, never we will be able to understand the plan and purpose of God in our life. We will never, because that rebellious nature is in us. That rebellious nature is in us. And God wants to take out that rebellious nature from us. And that's the reason always he called Israelites stiff neck. Stiff neck. He also used rebellious people. Tirugubatu cheyu prajalu. That is the word. Telugulo pada vaadindi kada devudu emana vaadindandi tirugubatu cheyu prajalanta. Evaranta devundu pilisinatvanti vaaranta tirugubatu cheyu prajalanta. The stiff neck people. Therefore, it is so important for a perfect father to discipline you and me. We fall under the discipline of God. And also God tells that many of you do not like to be disciplined. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm reading from verse 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Now here, he brings that word sons, right? And he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. In other words, when God is training us, when God is training us, do not take these things light, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Beautiful. Now, when God is training us, when God is disciplining us, when the storms hit us in our life, when we go through difficult situations in our life, when we go through problems in our life, when you are having problem in the family, when you are having problem with your children, when you are having problem with your wife, when you are having problem with your husband, when you are having problem at your workplace, don't get disappointed or discouraged. Don't get. Because that is the time. Now God wants to speak to us. That is the time God wants to teach us. And therefore he says, do not take light of God's instructions. That is discipline. When God teaches you. You know, let me tell you something. Our God is a God who knows everything. Not even one hair can fall from your head without the permission of God. Not even one hair. Nothing can happen to you unless and until God permits. Everything has to come through God to us. Everything has to come through God to us. And many times God allows it to happen in our life. He allows it to happen. Now, for example, Job. Now, when Job was having problem, the Satan goes to God.
And God says, I have given you permission. Do not kill him. Do not kill him, but I have given you permission. What do you want to do? Spare his life. He says, okay, go and do it. And Satan says, whoo, you know, the human beings, they like their body so much. Let me bring some pain in the body. Let me bring some boils in the body. Because they love so much, they like to put so much of cream. Right? They love to put so much of cream. They want to look very good. But Satan says, okay, let me do something where they will understand. But let me tell you something. Job understood the pain. Why he was faithful to God in his struggling. What was the reason? This was the disciplinary action what God has taken. Not because Job was a sinner, but to be an example for you and for me. Whenever we are hit by the storms, whenever God is disciplining, he's training us to be an example in this world so that people may see you and say that this guy is a godly guy. Amen? God wants to train us. God wants to show to these people. When he called Israelites, he says, I have brought you out of Egypt. Obey my commandments and you will be treasured to me. Let me perform my power through you people. Let the world know how powerful I am. And I want to display my power through you people. But I need to discipline you. So therefore, instead of going to from Egypt to Canaan, instead of going in 1 month, they took 40 years. 40 years. The whole road is only 1 month's road. Right? 1 month. But why it took 40 years? Because 40 years, God was disciplining these people. God was training. God was talking to these people. And at every step, they rebelled against God in every step. We have that nature. Our perfect Father wants to discipline us. Whenever you are hit by some problems in your life, my friends, let me tell you something. And last, I think 2 weeks back, I told you this. God has chosen a tough, tough road to save you and me. He has not chosen a very easy way to save you and me. He gave his life. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. That was the toughest thing what happened in this world. In front of the Father, Son was murdered. Son was butchered. Son was sacrificed. Son was killed. And Father, he was just standing and looking. Our Father was standing and looking. So that you and I may be saved. When God has chosen a tough way to save you and me, he will never allow us to choose easy path. He will never allow us to choose easy path. If you listen from any speaker, you should tell yourself that he's not preaching the word of God. Many speakers, they say that God has died for you. He delivered us. He has taken all the pains. So no pains for us. Brother, no pains for us. There is a broad way you can get into the heaven. That is the preaching. No. God says, I have gone through this. I want you to enter through the narrow gate. Irkumargamalo praveshinchudi. Take up your cross and follow me. If you follow me, the world will hate you. This is the word of God. This is the truth in the Bible. This is the truth. If any pastor preaches you that God has taken our shame and we will not suffer, that is the wrong statement. Never believe this guy. Because God says, if I discipline you, I will take you through the storm. But I will teach you what is good in your life, but I will take you through the storm, but I will never take that storm away from you. God will never take that storm away from you. God wants us to go through this storm so that you and I may understand the perfect will of God in our life, so that you and I may be an example in this world to be called the children of living God. He wants to discipline us. If you don't want to go through this, if you say that, Lord, no, this is not true, then he says, you are illegitimate child. Meeru naku putta ledu. That is the word used in the Bible. I am not your father. You are illegitimate child. No, the perfect father knows how to provide you and me for us. The perfect father knows how to discipline you and me, and never turn away from the discipline of God. Never turn away from the discipline of God. Can you raise your hand and say amen? Raise your hand and say amen. Raise your hand and say amen. Because we want our perfect father, who knows how to provide, who knows how to discipline, who knows how to prepare us. The Father prepares us. The third point, what I want to tell you, is our perfect Father is our guide. Our perfect Father is our guide. He guides us. He guides us. How many of you need a guide? He's very personal. You know, when he is guiding, he is a security for us. He's a security. He is a protector. Right? He guides, he protects us. So there's security around us. How many of you want a perfect Father, Heavenly Father, to be your protector? Amen. In Psalms, 16 times the psalmist is using the word fortress. The word fortress has been used 16 times in the psalm. Nivu na kotavu na durgamu na ashraya durgamu. That is the word of God. 16 times the psalmist has used it in his poems. Beautiful. God wants to guide us. God wants to provide. The Father, perfect Father, wants to provide for us. The perfect Father wants to discipline us. The perfect Father wants to guide us. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. So minor prophets. Comes after Habakkuk, Nahum. Habakkuk. In Habakkuk, God brings to us, and God tells us that, people, I'm unable to find that verse here, but God tells that people are worshiping.
are worshiping the images. They are worshiping man-made images. And God brings a case against them. And God tells them that, you know, whomever you worship, whomever you look here, and whomever you are going through, and I think it should be in 19th. Sorry, thank you. 2:19. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life. Second chapter, 19. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stones, walk up. Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Now see, there are, when God is guiding us, now he's saying that all the idols in this world, people, you know, Israelites were so much into the idol worship. God has brought them. And God said that if you obey, you will be my treasures. You will be my treasure, and I will use them to show to this world that I am the creator. And when God has brought you and me out from the darkness, 2 Peter, 1 Peter 2 chapter 9th verse, now God says that he has chosen you and me. And therefore, we are priesthood. We are royal priesthood. And he brought us out of the darkness into the light to proclaim his word, to be a testimony, to be a witness in this world. Now that is the beautiful verse. Now God wants to you and me as a witness in this world. Same way God has brought Israelites out of Egypt to proclaim himself to this world. Now what these people have done? What these people have done? Now these people started worshiping the idols. The idols which were made out of wood and stone. Now you may say that, Pastor, yeah, they were doing it, but I don't do it. But you see, God says that you were started worshiping the idols which are made by wood and stones. Do they guide you? Do they guide you? Avi mimmulnu nadipisthaya? Meeku throva chupisthada? He's asking a question. Beautiful question. He says, can these idols guide you? Now, what are the idols in the New Testament for a believer? For a believer, if you love anything more than God is an idol. Your wealth may be an idol. Your husband may be an idol. Your wife may be an idol. Your children may come in the middle of you and God. Your work may be idol. Your wealth. Everything what you love more than anything. That's the reason God said, Isaac, do you love me? Isaac said, I love you, Lord. So take your son and take him. Let me test. When God is guiding us, now God says that your eyes must be fixed on me. Our eyes must be fixed on God so that we will understand which path we should walk with him. He will tell us. You know the beauty of God when he leads us, when he guides us. Psalm 23. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Beautiful. When God guides us, he leads us to the paths of righteousness. He leads us beside the still, quiet waters. Parishuddhatma yokka, the beauty of the Holy Spirit is there is peace. There is peace. Whenever there is chaos in your life, the Holy Spirit is absent. You tell yourself, I tell myself, whenever there is chaos, disorder, the Holy Spirit is absent. The Holy Spirit is peace. And he leads us to the paths of peaceful place. He leads us to the quiet waters where you can sit and meditate the word of God.
I don't know how many of you are reading Bible every day. Today I forgot to ask you. But I don't know how many of you are reading Bible every day. I want you to read your Bible and pray, because that's where you will learn the ways of God. That's where you get your guidance from God. He guides us. If anything comes out between you and God, you're gone, finished. You're gone. We need to be guided by God. The perfect Father guides us. He leads us beside the quiet waters to speak to you and to me. How many fathers here you speak to your children? How many of you become a guide to your children? How many of you say that, my son, this is not the right way. This is the path you need to go. This is the path you need to go. You know, many times I'm talking to my children, I speak to my grandkids, and they come and ask me questions. And one day I was talking to my grandson, Viral, I was talking to him, and he said, Tata, you know, in the school, they teach much about the science, and they don't believe in the creation and all the stuff. And I said, my son, we don't believe in evolution. We believe in creation, because we have a creator. No matter whatever is taught in your school, keep it in your mind that you have a creator. And that creator who created you and me is our guide who will lead us. Always trust in him. Always follow his instructions. Yes, Tata, I know. When they were telling, I was just listening to them, because it's in school, you know? I have to listen to them. But you know, it's true. It's true. When you are going to school, if you are going to school, there is so much of socialism they teach you. But how do you segregate them with spiritual things? Unless and until you know what is Bible, unless and until you know your personal Savior, Jesus Christ, in your life, never you will follow the path of God in your life. And always you will say that what I think, what I do is the right thing. That is an idol. That is an idol. Do not love this world. Do not love this world. Out of world comes what? What comes out of world? What comes out of world? The lust of your flesh, eye, and pride. Self-confidence is pride. It will make you to depend on yourself more than God. You will fall down. You will fall down. Self-confidence is pride. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, he will guide you. He will provide what you want, because that's what the perfect Father, our God, our Creator, does. Therefore, he has created you and me in his own image, so that you will understand. A father who provides, a father who disciplines, a father who guides us to the still waters. Guides us to the still waters. If you are not at ease, my friends, if you don't have peace of God, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is absent. That is the indication for every believer. Whenever the Holy Spirit is absent, our life is in chaos. Our life is disorder. And when that happens, look to the Lord and say that, Lord, you are my provider. I don't want anything. I want you to provide. You know, King David, when he sinned against God, what was his prayer? What was his prayer? Psalm 51. He says, please do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Because the moment you take the Holy Spirit from me, there is no guidance in my life. My life is ruined. I am in chaos, disorder. I cannot be in your presence, O God. Please do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but fill me with your Spirit so that I will understand your ways in my life. I will understand your guidance. I will understand your path in my life. Perfect Father guides us. Who guides us? If you are a believer, then you should teach your children that God is our provider. As God disciplines, God has made me a priest to the house. Every father is a priest of the house, and you should know your responsibilities. You should know your responsibilities. What are the responsibilities of the priest? You stand between your family and the Creator, and you are accountable for everything in your family, what is happening. And wives, mothers, you need to submit yourself to your husbands, and you will do it when you know who is your Creator. You will do it when you know who is your Savior. Unless and until you submit yourself to your Savior, you cannot submit yourself to your husband. Husbands, unless and until you love the Father and your Savior, never you will be able to love your wife. Never you can set an example in the family. But fathers, God has chosen us as a priest of the house. Therefore, depend on the perfect Father. He will teach you. And always teach your children that God is my provider. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides us, the Lord who provided us, the Lord who will provide us, the Lord who will discipline us and take us into his kingdom. You know, beautiful, if you read, because we have done these epistles, Jude is telling how God guides us. Let's go and read Jude. Jude is right before a revelation. And verse 24. Jude, how many chapters Jude has? One chapter, good. Verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages and now forevermore. Amen. Who is able to guide you? He is able to guide us and to bring us into the throne, into the presence of God, into the presence of God. To him, only to him, let there be glory. Only to him, let there be majesty. Only to him, let there be power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages and now forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen, Amen. Let's bow down our heads in prayer. As we come into the presence of God, this is a beautiful time given to us, my friends. I want you to look into yourself. I want you to speak to our Creator. I want you to look and just thank our Lord for being our provider. Thank God for disciplining us. Thank God for guiding us. And just say that, Lord, I thank you for being a perfect Father in my life. I thank and praise you for a perfect Father in my life. I thank and praise you, Lord, calling me out of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance. And your word says that you are able to keep me from falling down. And you are able to lead me into the paths of righteousness and present me without fault and with great joy to the only God, our Savior, to be glory. Yes, Father, I thank and praise you for preparing me by providing, disciplining, and guiding. I thank and praise you. Can you close your eyes, everybody? And I want you to look to the Lord. I want you to pray and be connected with our God. And whatever you feel in your heart, just speak to him and say that, Lord, I come to your presence. Thank you for making me a father. Thank you for telling me that I am the priest of my house. Thank you for teaching me that I should be a good father as you are a good father to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank and praise you for this time. Thank and praise you for your word. Thank and praise you for blessing us. I thank you, Lord, for each and every father who is here. Thank and praise you for every mother. Thank and praise you for every family, that we will understand that you are our provider, you are our protector, and Lord, you are our security. Oh Lord, you are our father who disciplines and makes us fit to enter into your kingdom, oh Father. We thank and praise you. We thank and praise you. And all God's people said, amen, amen. The Lord's table is open for us, my friends.